Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use promo code BBALL25, that's BBALL25, to get up to a $25 deposit bonus. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. With that said, welcome to the show, guys. It is, Monday, October 24th. The NBA season starts tomorrow. We're doing a podcast. Tonight, I am joined by two very handsome people, Kyle McEwen. How are you, Kyle?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, Danny.
And where can we find you on Twitter, man?
You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA.
Beautiful. And we also have the wild card, the wild man himself, Tyler Watts. Tyler, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Dan?
And where are you on Twitter?
You can find me at Wattsy4444.
Okay, very good. So tonight, what we're going to do is a DFS strategy podcast, and I'm going to kind of pull you behind the sheets, behind my bedroom door. That sounds a little risque, but
behind the sheets. This is getting creepier than I thought it would.
All right, we can do behind the scenes. I'm basically going to let you know a lot of my tricks, my strategy, my techniques that I use when I play DFS, which was pretty hardcore the last couple of years, and pretty much it was kind of like a second job to me. I devote a lot of my time to DFS, so I want to share as much as I can with you guys, and also Kyle and Tyler are right here with me. They're going to share some of their tips as well. And remember, the season starts tomorrow, and we are going to be doing seven shows a week. That's every day to help you get ready for each game's slates. So I'm looking forward to it. Kyle?
Yep, six days a week, Monday through Saturday, we're going to have DFS shows going up. We usually record them the night before and release in the morning so that you have kind of a primer for the day. We're going to look at any and all numbers and inferences that you can make when trying to discern who you should pick for that day for DFS. And we're just going to have a conversation about that for about 15, 30 minutes between all of us, you know, Mark, Daniel, Tyler, and myself, and whoever else we invite or get to come on the show as a guest. And then on Sundays, Mark's going to do a week-long kind of season, or, you know, week-ahead, season-long podcast that everybody's going to get. And this is today's podcast, the DFS Strategy Podcast that Daniel put together, is just our way of kicking off to kind of say we're going to be more DFS focused, but we're still going to be talking about season long stuff, kind of sprinkling it in. A lot of this stuff plays, you know, a million ways. If we're talking about somebody who's a good buy on a single day, it's probably going to have some kind of, you know, significance in season long anyway. So we're just going to have those conversations. So whatever, let's get funky. Let's get going on this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But like you said, I mean, DFS and season long, a lot of it, I mean, they're very similar in a lot of ways. If someone's a great play, it probably means he's going to be a great streaming option for that day or that week. So, and hopefully we'll try to point that out when we can. Yeah.
Opportunity and value. That's what you're always looking for in fantasy. And you have to look for that in both places. And is the guy going to play minutes? Is he going to get possessions? And how many possessions are there going to be in the game? And let's talk about all that stuff.
Yep. And so we can get started. And first I'll just say this. So there's already contests up on, you know, on all the major sites, FanDuel, DraftKings. And I think we'll mostly talk about FanDuel or DraftKings. I think for today we'll probably talk about FanDuel mostly, but we'll probably mention both. But there's other sites too. And there's contests for tomorrow's slate. And they're actually filling up fast. So if you want to play for tomorrow's actions, by the time you listen to this, maybe it's going to be already Tuesday. Make sure you enter those contests because they are filling up pretty fast, which is a good sign. That means a lot of people are pretty pumped for the NBA season, I think all three of us included. So let's get started. The first thing that I do, guys, when I am looking at getting ready to choose my contests and pick my players and all that, is I go to Vegas because Vegas is smarter than me. Vegas is, you know, no offense, probably smarter than you guys. So I want to know the over-under of all games, and I want to know the point spreads. Now, there's all kinds of sites you can go to kind of look at this. The site that I use the most is called VegasInsider.com, and then you got to click NBA lines, I think. It's a pretty easy site to navigate. But again, there's so many different – you guys probably have your favorite sites already, and then they're out there. Now, for over-under, one of the main things I look at is I want to know which games are potential blowouts. So if I see – and we can look at tomorrow's slate –
And what exactly is over-under? Is over-under is the total amount of points scored for the game for both teams?
Right. So over-under is that's exactly right. That's the – so for I'm trying to pull up tomorrow's games, which I had, and then I lost it. So I will quick try to find that again. So, yeah. So for tomorrow, there's three games, right? There's New York, Cleveland, Utah, Portland, San Antonio, Golden State. Now, the New York, Cleveland has an over-under of 205. That means Vegas predicts those two teams to score a total of 205 points. Now, for me, I want over-unders over 200. That means it's going to be a pretty, you know, up-and-down game. There's going to be a lot of possessions. Now, you'll typically see the over-under can be anywhere from about 190 to about 220. And typically, the 220 games are going to be Golden State games or Houston games, which makes sense, right? Because those teams play at the fastest pace for the most part and score the most points. So
To give reference for tomorrow's games for Tuesday's games, the Utah-Portland game, it's 193.5. And then for the San Antonio-Golden State game, it's 212.5. And the reason for that, Daniel, is because of the pace or the number of possessions that those games are going to be played at, right?
Yep, correct. So, and that makes total sense. I mean, Utah, classic, they always play very slow pace. You know, they got the Twin Towers, Gobert and Derek Favors. So, and the, you know, defense-oriented team, solid defense. So not surprising that the Utah-Portland game has the lowest over-under of the schedule for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, not coincidentally, that game is probably the game where I have the fewest players. San Antonio Golden State, that's probably with the 212.5 over under, that's probably going to be the game where I have the most players, and that makes logical sense. Now, normally, if I saw a game with an over under of about 193, like Utah Portland, I might say, ooh, you know, I don't really want any guys from that game. I'm going to stay away from that game altogether. On a three-game slate like we have tomorrow, you really can't do that. You really can't afford to only pick players from two games. So I'm still probably going to have, you know, one or two players, maybe a couple more. I haven't done a ton of research for tomorrow's slate yet. But I still will have the fewest players from that Utah-Portland game. I want possessions, 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 possessions. I want an up-and-down game. I want players, I want players that are more – teams that are more offensive-oriented. So I'll be looking again to target the San Antonio Golden State game and then even the New York Cleveland game. The other thing that goes along with over-unders are you want to look at the point spreads. And kind of like I was saying, I think a few seconds ago, was you want to avoid for the most part, and you can't always do this, but if a game is going to be a blowout, you want to make sure that you know that's a possibility. So,
and the point spread is the difference, like how much one team's going to beat the other team by.
Correct.
Right.
So, okay. So tomorrow, Cleveland is a 9.5-point favorite over New York. Portland's a 5.5-point favorite over Utah, and Golden State's a 9-point favorite over Golden State. Now, from the way that I look at it is, typically if the spread's about 10 or all over, to me that's potentially a blowout scenario. So if you look at the Cleveland game and Golden State. But both those games could potentially be on the verge of being blowouts, so you should just keep that in mind. Now, on a three-game slate, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, right?
Now, why would so what do we know about these games for why there's such a big point spread of 9.5 for Cleveland and New York? For me, I look at it and I say it's because Cleveland's bringing back essentially their whole roster from their whole championship roster, whereas other than Timofey Mozgov and a couple of other bit pieces. Whereas New York's trying to integrate Derrick Rose, who's been away from the team due to his court issues, and now he's going to come back and he's expected to start and play, but is he going to play well? And then you also have Joakim Noah, who's a new guy on the team and kind of trying to integrate himself. He's dealing with ankle and hamstring stuff, so you don't know how effective he's again going to be. Looking at all that, I think that's why we see such a kind of a large point spread on that game.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, if I would have had to guess the point spreads before I looked at it, I would have thought Cleveland's going to be higher. I would have thought it's going to be like Cleveland minus 12 or 13. I think it's only 9.5 because it's opening night, and Vegas kind of wants to see each team play a couple games before they get too crazy. But I'm surprised. I mean, like you said, New York's got a lot of uncertainties, basically a whole new roster, whereas Cleveland has everyone back. So in theory, if Cleveland won by 20 tomorrow, it's at Cleveland. If it was at New York and it was still a 9-point favorite and Cleveland was still a 9-point favorite, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. So if this game becomes a blowout tomorrow, it would not shock me one bit.
Well, that's like, you know, you go back to when Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and LeBron all joined together in Miami. They struggled for the first like 20 games that season.
Started out 9-8.
Yep. So it's to that's why I'm with you. Like when I got done describing all the reasons why that point spread would be 9.5 for the Cleveland-New York game, it felt like there was more reasons for it to be larger. So I'm glad that you're kind of reiterating the same kind of idea.
Absolutely. I mean, the only game I think that, at least that I feel comfortable with, that's not going to be a blowout tomorrow, and Vegas agrees, is Utah-Portland. That game should stay pretty tight. You know, both those teams should be fighting for that 4 or 5 seed in the West. Now, Gordon Hayward's out tomorrow, and I think Derek Favors, I'm not sure if he's going to play, so that may tweak the line a little bit. I think Favors is going to play, but We're not sure
if Favors is going to play. Right, he practiced, so so that's good. But is he actually going to play? We don't know. And they've already got Trey Lyles at a pretty high price. So even going in there and trying to use Trey Lyles, or actually he might be lower on this site. I think I was looking at the wrong site, to be completely honest. Lyles is only a $4,000 player. So dang, he might be a good buy at power forward if Derek Favors is out tomorrow.
Yep, and as we go along with the show today, I mean, obviously one of the main things you're going to want to monitor tomorrow is Favors playing. If he does not play, that opens up value galore, and you're like Kyle said, you're probably going to want to jump on a guy like Trey Lyles.
So to kind of round out the over-under and the point spread discussion, how much do these inform your decisions? Are you, you know, because when you talk about Utah-Portland, you said, well, it's unlikely to be a blowout, so it might be an overtime game, but they're playing at a slower pace and the over-under is lower, which is something that would maybe deter you from picking a player there or out of one of those two teams. And you're also looking at the fact, yeah, but we only have 3 games.
Right.
So, like, taking all of that into effect, for the most part, like, doesn't it kind of become a wash with this slate because of everything's circumstantial?
Not necessarily. Like, I can tell you this. I will be targeting San Antonio Golden State guys the most. I mean, it's just that's where I'm going. That game, I want to target that game. So, if I after I draft my roster, you know, my 9 guys on – it's been a while since it's – play. Is it 9 guys that you have in your lineup in FanDuel? Yeah, I think it's 9 guys. This is – now I'm going to check. This is driving me nuts.
9.
Yeah.
It's 9.
Yeah, so after you draft your 9 guys on FanDuel or whatever site you're playing at, if I don't have, let's say, 4 Golden State San Antonio guys, 4 to 5, I'm going to have to rethink my lineup. Like, I want that, that's the main game that I want to target for sure. I think that 212 over-under is actually low. I think it could be higher than that. So, you know – on a 3-game slate, you can't be too picky. I can't avoid that Utah-Portland game. I'm going to need to pick a couple players from that game. But with that said, the other 2 games, I will try to make sure for the most part I have more players from those 2 games in my lineup. Now, you can always play, you know, contrarian and say, you know, that's what most other people are going to do as well. So I'm going to go against the grain and go with a lot of guys on Utah-Portland. Like you said, hope for overtime and hope you take down a big GPP and win a lot of money. You can do that, but the odds say go pick players from San Antonio, Golden State, pick players from New York and Cleveland. Guys are just going to get more fantasy points from those 2 games.
Holla, holla, holla. So where do you go get all this information though? That's kind of where the next part in the conversation, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, so after I do that, then you need to start your true research. Now, my main thing that I tell everyone is, look, especially nowadays, there's way too much information out there. You can drive yourself insane. If you want to go to 5, 6, 7 different websites, I mean, you're just going to start pulling your hair out and go crazy. So pick a site that you're comfortable with. Pick a site that's user-friendly. There's a lot of good sites out there. I mean, just to name a few. I mean, there's Roto Grinders. There's Fantasy Labs. There's a beautiful site. I don't know if you've heard of it, Kyle, called Basketball Monster.
I work there.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean,
wow.
So, you know, there's also, you know, Roto World. There's many different sites. You know, I don't think I'm gonna go too much unless you guys want to. Which site do you use?
You've touched on them the most, but Tyler, are there any of the sites that you use or have used, and any things that you enjoy about them?
I'm pretty much use Basketball Monster, just because I think it's really easy to find the information. Like, I can always seem to find the information in like 30 seconds instead of like 5 minutes, which it takes me on some of the other sites. So that's basically where I'm going if I'm looking for the information.
Well, thanks, man. No, I haven't used Roto Grinders much. I know they're well regarded throughout the industry. Roto World and Roto Wire. It's I used to be the NBA manager at Roto Wire. Those two sites are best for like going to get your fantasy basketball news if you want in-depth news coverage, because they've got beat writers and like guys working hourly to go read all the newspapers, get these in-depth little like micro stories about you know, just innocuous stuff that might have meaning. But at the same time, if you want to get up to the date right now, what just happened, who's going to be out tonight, DFS information, Basketball Monster is one of the best follows on Twitter. I run the damn thing. So I do think highly of it. Fantasy Labs on Twitter is good too. But I wish I wouldn't have said that because they are a competitor. They're good. And I used to work with Justin at RotoWire. Justin Fan's a freaking really smart guy. He used to write at Basketball Monster too. Yeah, there's so many good people throughout the industry. Like Daniel said, the biggest thing is find a site that you like. We do respond to questions on Basketball Monster and stuff. Like, if you want somewhere to feel comfortable, I definitely think the access that you get as far as to Josh, who does the Red Rock Basketball Podcast, who works at Basketball Monster. Everybody knows who Josh Lloyd is. You know, I think knowing that we're the guys working on stuff and the fact that you kind of get a insight into the way we think about things, I hope that maybe just gives a little bit more understanding or confidence about stuff. And it also gives you an insight into our biases and all the other things so that you can discern your own or make your own kind of predictions and go in there and change the projections on Basketball Monster too. If you want, we got killer DFS tools that show you who's the best ratioed player, meaning, who's got the salary, the best salary as compared to the value they're projected to have. So like you go and you sort by that, and Kyle Anderson jumps up to the top for tomorrow because he's going to be playing with Danny Green out, and he's expected to get quite a bit of minutes. And Jonathan Simmons is still potentially going to, you know, he's dealing with a little bit of nagging stuff that might keep him out too. So yeah. Anyways, and just, if you're looking for really good tools that you can trust, Basketball Monster is legit.
Yeah, and I think if you play DFS, you probably know this, but if you're looking at shooting guard tomorrow, just grab some tissues and Kleenex because you're going to be crying. Shooting guard is a nasty position tomorrow. Ugh. Anyway. I'm totally with you. And for me, like, I want user-friendly. That's, like, the main thing. I'm not the most IT-savvy guy in the world. Like, I want a site that's, you know, easy to use, that I can do, you know, with a couple clicks here, a couple clicks there, and I can find the information that I want. And I think, like you said, Basketball Monster is pretty – dang user friendly.
And if you don't follow BASK Monster on Twitter for your breaking news, you're missing out, because if it comes across on the Twitter, we get it, and that's where all the news breaks. If you're not on Twitter and you're playing DFS, you can use the news page on basketballmonster.com or the player news page. So that's going to be essentially the same exact thing. As soon as it comes across Twitter, we're going to have it and give you all the information you need about it. But make sure you're on Twitter if you're playing DFS. I just feel like I have to say that a lot.
Yep. Totally agree. Totally agree. So let's move on to – so once you got your site, I mean, there's so many – I mean, especially now we live in a data-driven analytical world – you know, with deep, 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 deep analytics, there's so much, like I said, there's, you know, so many different sites out there. Also on each site, there's tons of information to look at. So I want to go through a couple of the main things that I look at. And I can point to some that I really don't really think are that important as well. So obviously I think most sites are going to have projections. That's just telling you, you know, this site projects Steph Curry to play 37 minutes and put up X amount of fantasy points tomorrow. That's pretty straightforward. So you should have your site should have projections. You do want to know what players projected for what each night. Another one that I this one used to be important to me, and increasingly it's not. I might use it as like a tiebreaker, but I don't look at it that much anymore, is matchup, your defensive versus position. So, for instance, Sacramento for like the last 3 years, I think since Ben McLemore has been there, maybe it's only been two years, maybe three. Sacramento is always the worst against shooting guard. So, for instance, you always want to play any shooting guard versus Sacramento. There's certain things like that that I think are that you want to look at for defensive versus position. But other times, like if you see, like, you know, Utah is ranked ninth against point guards. I mean, like, I don't look at that too much. However, if it's something like well-known, like, you know, Boston's always a really good, you know, at guarding opposing point guards and shooting guards due to their great perimeter guys. Like, I will look at that a little bit, but defensive versus position is kind of a tool I use only as a tiebreaker, and I'm not too focused on that. Where I used to live and die by that a couple years ago, and then last year I got away from it because I didn't think it was doing that much. So that's something to keep your eyes on. Obviously, a big one in DFS, probably the most important, is injuries and or resting. This is where when Kyle said you need to follow Basketball Monster on Twitter. You definitely do, because they are the quickest out of any, you know, Twitter handle that I know in terms of getting you if a player is gonna be out for that night. And when it's like when lineup lock is at 7 p.m. and it's, you know, 6:54 and you're waiting on news, you better be following the correct people on Twitter so you can get the information you need in an accurate time.
And the thing is, like, if you went in there and you decided you can go to my Twitter and go to my list. There's a DFBP news list that has like all the relevant, or I'd say 99% of the relevant beat writers that you would need to follow to get breaking news leading up to a game. It's not as updated as it used to be because I do so much work on the Basketball Monster site now, but that's a really good resource. But it's tiring to just sit there and read every single tweet and to be kind of plugged in, trying to discern what information is coming across, because you'll have like 130 tweets in a minute come out. And you'll like fall behind if you're trying to keep up on it and then go change your lineup. So it is good to have a tool or have somebody who's filtering it. And if you follow the Basketball Monster account, I'm the one running it most days. So I've got a neurosis about it. So if it's coming across, I'm going to see it quicker than anybody else pretty much. Yeah.
And the thing that I'll tell you guys to do, I mean, obviously, let's say lineup lock is going to be at 7 p.m. This is when the first game starts, and that's when your lineup locks, and you got to have all your players, you know, set for that night. You should already have a good idea, obviously, you know, probably around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you know, sometime, you know, well before the game start, who's questionable, who may or may not be playing. And you need to be ready when the news comes, you know, let's say for tomorrow is Derek Favors, right? So you need to be ready if Derek Favors is out, who are you going to play? And if Derek Favors is in, who are you going to play? You need to know that well ahead of time. So once the news hits, you're ready to go. Because especially, you know, on a three-game slate, it's probably not going to be a ton of late-breaking news. You probably should be fine for tomorrow. But when there's like a 10, 11-game slate, and you know, and there's all kinds of news trickling down, you know, at around 6:50, like there always is, and you have about 10 minutes, you know, to finalize those lineups, when you get all that, you know, late-breaking news coming in, you're going to be making a lot of changes late. And you got to have a plan in place. You got to know, you know, who you want to play, who you don't want to play once that injury news does come in. And you're also going to want to know who's a guy you're willing to take a risk on. For instance, you might not have, you know, Derek Favors might be questionable. You might not get news until 9 o'clock or, you know, a half hour before their game starts. But lineup lock already happened. So you want to already know, you know, throughout the day, follow the beat writer, follow Basketball Monster, follow whoever you think you need to follow on Twitter. You can ask either of us a question if we think he's playing, if we think the guy's playing or not. And there are some nights you just want to take a risk on a guy, maybe. I mean, one way that I won a ton of money one night, I think I finished second out of like 30,000 people in a big GPP, is I played James Harden when he was questionable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the news wasn't out before lineup lock. I knew he had an ankle injury. But James Harden is one of the guys who plays through a lot of injuries. So I took a chance. And he ended up being like 2% owned, and he ended up having a, you know, 40-point 10 assist game, and I won a lot of money. So there are you can take strategic chances as well, but you just need to have a plan going into the night.
For the kind of DFS beginners, the percent owned, why does that matter?
Okay, so yeah, that's a really good question, and something that it's always a constant battle that you got to kind of have in the back of your mind. So when you look at percentages owned, and there's, and it also varies how much you want to look at it, if you're playing cash games versus GPPs. Cash games, also called 50-50s, are where half the field wins. So if there's 5,000 people, you know, in your contest, 2,500 are going to win, right? Half the field.
So you put in like $2 and it's right. a 50-50 or whatever amount of money and half the people win. So like if you put in $2, you're going to win like $3.60 or something like
that. Basically,
right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. That would be
people. Do you know why people call the 50-50s cash games? It's fine if you don't. I asked somebody yesterday and they were like, I have no idea, but I play cash games. So
actually, you know what? I did at one point and now I that's not coming to me. I think it's because you just, you know, you basically can make, yeah, I don't, I, you know what?
I think it's just like a stolen thing from poker because like,
you know what I think it means? Poker.
That makes sense.
I think it means it's not that you actually win like a tournament. You just cash. Everybody right. cashes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, so that's okay. So it's just kind of like a jargony thing. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Whereas like the other ones they call tournaments just because like in poker, yeah, like you bet 10,000 to win a million, you know what I mean? Or like whatever.
Right. Or you bet $2 to win like 75 or something if you come in second place or.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so what I would say, well, if you're playing and this is how you, and first of all, you need to figure out what kind of, you know, what kind of style of a player do you want to be? Like, do you want to playing a 50-50 and double your money or almost double your money. Like Kyle said, if you play about a $2 entry fee, you probably will win $3.60 if you win in that particular contest. Or you want to be a little bit riskier and play a GPP where only about 20% of the field wins, but there you actually have a chance, you know, to win potentially, depending on the tournament, yeah. hundreds or thousands. Now,
yep.
it's obviously much harder to win. But your payout is you know obviously can be much higher. So when it comes to percentages, if you're playing a GPP or a tournament, then you're gonna need a couple of players in your lineup in your roster who are low owned, right? Because you need a way to differentiate yourself from the 30,000 people, the 20,000 people who are playing against you.
Yeah, yeah, so, right. Because if everybody has the same chalk guys or so-called, the guys, you know, everybody has the same players in their lineup, then there's just like this congealing at the top. But if you go contrarian and you pick somebody who everybody else is kind of missing out on, then if they have a big game, you've spent money in other places that allowed you to have a more sure thing in those other spots, essentially, right?
That's absolutely right. So in a 50-50 – you know, I don't really care too much about ownership. I want to play the best guys. If I think Steph Curry is going to have the best night, you better be dang sure I'm
going
to play.
When
Steph
you say
Curry.
The best guys, you mean the guys who you know are going to. You don't want any risky plays. You want
yeah,
to play
yeah,
guys
want,
who you know are
to,
going to get like value. Correct. Like even yeah. like you're okay paying for a guy if he's $6,800 and he's going to give you $6,800 in value points wise. You're like, cool. That's exactly what I want. Yeah, I want
safety. Think of like, you know, your mother's breast milk. I want very safe.
Because you only have to be better than 50% of the other people in that, in those cash games, in the 50-50.
Right.
Whereas for those bigger tournaments, like you said, like you have to be better than 80% of the people in there.
Yep. Yeah. And
that's really hard because there's in those tournaments, people can also put in here's one of the things. A lot of the cash games, the 50-50s, you can only play one lineup in a lot of them, right?
Well, yeah. So this is something that the DFS, I don't know how experienced a lot of our listeners are with DFS, but there's been a lot of, new regulations and a lot of behind the scenes work going in DFS to make it more kind of just consumer friendly, but I would just say fair. So like Kyle was kind of saying that you used to be able to enter, like the same people would enter the same contest like thousands of times, which would make it extremely, extremely unfair.
And they had they had scripts for that throughout their computers that allowed them to upload the same lineup into just like 1,000 different contests, like in a matter of seconds.
Right.
Which if you're not doing this as a full-time job, then you're going up against these sharks. Like it does make it difficult to kind of come out on top because you're not putting in that same work that they are. And I mean, in some respects you're like, cool, they should be rewarded. They should be able to make, a living off of doing this and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but for the health of daily fantasy sports, you need people to feel like they have a fighting chance. And so in some ways they do need to kind of regulate the games maybe better, or one way that I think they could even do it is just to offer a lot of different games, you know, and I think they are starting to do kind of more variations too this season.
Did you see the new thing DraftKings just added? I think it was maybe just today. It's fairly new, this casual player thing. They added specifically a new place where you can go, and they're just all casual player contests. So basically it says, introducing casual contests, you can compete against players at the same skill level of experience as you. And so like they're having a way where you can enter these contests, and like they're kicking people out who are professionals. And they're just for people like who just want to play for fun.
So it's essentially like if you have only played in this many contests, you'll still be allowed to play on this,
right,
like with your username. But once you get a certain amount of or a certain level of notoriety, you won't be allowed to play in those kind of casual contests. Or
that's what I'm looking at. It's like relatively new, I think. I don't know, but like yeah, that's what it says. So, I think they've
tried to do something like that, but this sounds like more like an even more aggressive approach to help newer players kind of get acclimated without you know getting stomped on by the big boys.
So I mean that's what I'm saying though. So if you're a listener who doesn't really know what they're doing, maybe this is something for you. Just try it out, see if you like it. You know what I mean? See what happens.
And one thing that I would say, if you are kind of a beginner type player, the thing that you want to what I will make sure to play a lot of each night is I play single entry tournaments. And that means, you know, me and Gandalf, which is one of the DFS pros, or I'm trying to think of who are the other
Kandia, any of a number of them.
Ray of Hope, or all these guys who are using these, you know, used to use all these great computer scripts. I mean, all of us, you know, if you play a single entry tournament, everyone can only enter one lineup, and that's it. Equal playing field. Super fair. I love it. I love those contests.
Yep.
I get into, you know, I play a lot. I'm, you know, especially towards, well, last year I couldn't play because DFS was banned in New York. But for baseball this year, I was playing those a little bit. And for NBA, I think I'm going to focus, you know, on a lot of those tournaments because, you know, again, I mean, I think we all want a fair playing field, you know, no matter what.
My favorite tournaments are like if I can find a $25 tournament with like less than 100 people in it. Because I feel like you have a chance to win a good amount of money, and you realistically could end up with the best,
yeah,
the best lineup regularly if you're putting in the work.
Yeah, yeah, that's
or at least finishing in the cash. Yeah,
I recommend a lot of and again, and this is a, you know, we're doing a podcast here, so if you guys have additional questions that, you know, that we're not touching on the podcast, feel free to send the, you know, any of us a tweet if you want more information.
We should start doing more like a little bit more questions for the podcast potentially too. But if you do, I would say kind of keep it DFS oriented this year in most regards. Don't do team stuff. Maybe more strategy stuff. We'll be more likely to kind of cover that on the podcast, just because we don't want to get into too much of, you know, who should I trade for on my team type stuff, because that's honestly that doesn't apply to many people beyond, you know, your single self. So I'd say if you have a personal team question, hit us up on Twitter. But if you want like DFS help, strategy to better understand something, and you just can't find the answer somewhere else, definitely it's dfbpod@gmail.com, right? Is that right?
And yeah, so we're checking that. Yeah, dfbpod@gmail.com, and I'm checking that every day. So I mean, we'll definitely get to it, right, either
don't,
on the
don't,
show
don't,
or
don't,
we'll
don't
get
necessarily
it report.
Don't necessarily inundate Tyler with questions, but like if you want something to be answered on the show, I'd say put that in the subject header too. Be like, hey, podcast question or something like that.
Yeah. So, but again, if you are kind of a relatively new, you know, focus in on those single entry tournaments, and also like Kyle was saying, not a bad idea at all to play those kind of 100-person entry contests. It's, you know,
I meant tournament in those two. Like, you know, it's because when you get into those huge tournaments that's got like 100,000 players in it, somebody's gonna stumble upon a stupid lineup that wins it all.
Yeah.
Or one of the big sharks is gonna win it. I mean, you can definitely win those. I know tons of people who have won them. You know, a lot of them are just Twitter people, but
you're talking to one of them, my friend.
How much did you win?
You want an exact number? I don't want to tell you an exact number. It was. I did well. I've had some good nights because I mean the main tournament that I play is actually the Grand Slam. Is it still called the Grand Slam? I think it is. It's a $25 tournament on FanDuel. Typically, there's about, depending on the number of games, it can be up to 20,000 people in it. You know, between like 5,000 and 20,000 people. But it's a.
I had a friend pay off their student loans with DFS money. Now, I'm not saying you're gonna do that. Don't expect that. This guy got lucky. He won like two tournaments, but this was also years ago. It's gotten a little bit harder in the last few years because there's been so many more people doing it. But at the same time, a lot of these things, like what Tyler's talking about and whatnot, like that's awesome that these are now in place, these kind of casual tournaments or casual games, so that if you are new to it, you can dive in and feel like, you know, okay, I got a fighting chance against, you know, these other people who are on the same skill level as I am right now.
Yeah. And if you guys want to chill with me in the slam at the $25 tournament, you know, that's totally fine. And to play these higher entry fee, you know, GPPs, but just you need to be aware of your budget. You need to know how much you want to play each night and be aware that, you know, the last stats I looked at for DraftKings was that 90% of people lose money. You know, if you're looking at like if people play for like a year long period, 90% lose. So, you know, take that for what it is. I mean, just be careful. Don't get in over your head. Have a budget in mind. Most people are doing this for fun. You know, and just kind of.
And you're not talking about your fantasy budget. You're talking about your money.
Correct.
Your money.
Yeah. Okay. So just don't get crazy because it's tempting, especially if you have a good night. You know, and you can easily throw down hundreds and just be.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We've all done that. You win like $200 on a night and you're like, I'm going to put 150 into it next night and I'm going to win 2000. And it's like, nope, you got $50 in your thing now. That's what happened.
let's keep going on the stats that we were looking at. Is that where we were? I think
we got very derailed. So we were talking about stats and other research and things like that. We'd gotten down to talking about injuries, I believe. I think that's where we're at.
All right, so let's quickly go through some other ones. Usage rate is one that I love to look at. Usage rate is basically, you know, if let's say D. Wade, one of my favorite player who's now on the Bulls, always has a high usage rate. I think last year it was around 28%. Or something like that, which basically that means 28% of the time. Now he's on the Bulls. Well, that hurts to say, but 28% of the time, a Bulls possession when Dwayne Wade is in the game is going to end with either with a Dwayne Wade shot or a Dwayne Wade turnover. So you want guys, the higher the usage rate, the better. If you can get a player with a usage rate about 25% or higher, that means that guy's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And that's the kind of guy that I want on my team. So usage rate is that's kind of a newer stat. I'd say in the last couple of years, it's become something that more guys, especially in the DFS world, have looked at. That's a stat that I will use a lot. And the one of the main reasons ways to use usage rate in a weird sentence is when there are injuries. So for instance, let's say Carmelo, the Knicks are playing tomorrow. Let's say Carmelo is out. You want to look at like the usage rate, and then there's ways to do this on Basketball Monster, and there I know there's other sites as well. You want to look at usage rates of players with Carmelo out, because obviously once a player goes out, everything changes. But there's data for all that, so I'm sure like Porzingis's usage rate goes you know probably from like let's say 21 to 28% when Carmelo goes out, or maybe there's a guy who you weren't thinking of playing, but then you look at you know because all these shots open up when Carmelo's out, and you're like wow. Jose Calderon, who's not even on the Knicks, but, you know, goes up from 12% to 24%. So just be on the lookout. Usage rate's a good stat to use, especially if guys are out. Look at who benefits the most, you know, via usage rate. It's a cool stat.
Yeah, on the Basketball Monster, we've got a lot of different little radio buttons that you can click for different stats, and usage rate is definitely one of them that you can just slide into an extra column there.
Yeah, and you know? For tomorrow, one thing that you guys should do is look at usage rates for last year when Gordon Hayward was out, because obviously Gordon Hayward's out to start the year. Look at guys who get more shots, whose usage rate goes up when Gordon Hayward is out.
So usage rate, to just kind of give you guys an example, if you're not familiar with it, when you talk about usage rate, it's the guys who have the ball in their hands the most. So tomorrow for Tuesday's games, usage rate projection: Damian Lillard, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, CJ McCollum, Carmelo Anthony, Derrick Rose, Klay Thompson, Derek Favors, Kawhi Leonard. Like, these are, you know, the best players are going to have the highest usage rates in general.
Yep. Another stat, this is a stat that I relied on a lot last year. And I find it to be somewhat helpful. I use it mostly if I'm torn between two players, and that's which team is, and especially as the season drags on, because the NBA season is grueling, and that's back-to-backs. So I want to know which team is playing on a back-to-back and which team isn't, especially if it's a back-to-back on the road. So if I'm torn between two guys, if I see one guy has a game and is coming off a two days rest versus one guy who's on like the fourth game in 5 nights, I will probably play the guy who has some rest, which makes sense, right? Especially if it's in the middle or late in the season. So go ahead, Kyle.
Days rest is another column that you can add on Basketball Monster.
That's actually something, and you can actually see there's certain players, and obviously the older ones, where it takes more effect. Like Dwayne Wade's a guy who I just mentioned, you know, the older guys last year, you know, Tim Duncan.
Yep. So, no, if I'm ever worried about a guy on a back-to-back, I'll go look on, you know, any site, Split Stats. I like looking at ESPN Split Stats because I've been using them there for like 15 years or whatever, and it looks the same as it looked 15 years ago. But so I'll go, you know, you go and you look at the Split Stats, and you can find certain trends there. Like, definitely with the rest days, you know, when you go and you look at most players and you see, oh, 3 days of rest, they have like amazing production. They're super efficient because they're rested. They have tons of energy and they're going to use it all in that game. And usually also you will see the minutes, distributions too. When on the second day of a back-to-back, you'll see that players will play less minutes because coaches are more aware of the wear and tear on the player.
Yep. Another one, splits. So how does a player do when he's home? How does a player do versus he's away? Now, John Wall is like the main guy that I always think of when I think of splits. Like, John Wall at home is just a tear. Dude's going to give you like 20 fantasy points in the first quarter. On the road, not so much. He's a guy that notorious. Just, I mean, if he was at home, I would always have a lineup with John Wall last year and 2 years ago. So there are some players in the league who just, for whatever reason, you know, shoot the ball better at home, you know, get more assists at home, you know, whatever it is. And there are some guys, you know, maybe there's some guys, I'm sure there are, that play better, you know, on the road. So, you know,
another way you can look at splits too. And Tyler, I don't know if you got any guys who you've looked at splits and said, oh, that's pretty cool. Or that I didn't know that. But for me, it's Jonas Valanciunas. You go and look at his split stats from last year against all the different teams, and he plays more minutes against a team with a traditional big. Like, you even go look at last year's playoff stats. He was playing a lot more against Hassan Whiteside than he was against, against other teams. So, you can definitely learn something like from that. So if Jonas Valanciunas, if I'm planning on using him on a given night, I'm going to go check the split stats, because Dwayne Casey, if they're playing against a small ball team, there's a lot of chance that Valanciunas is going to play less minutes on that night, and I'm not going to want to have anything to do with him.
Right. I mean, Valanciunas, that just saying that name makes me cringe, because he's been a guy forever. Dwayne Casey will just not play in the fourth quarter. Just drives me nuts. He can be having the best game ever, and he still will not play like you know, 12 minutes in the fourth quarter. So, you are absolutely right. Probably the most important thing, which maybe we should have led off with, is I would just say salary in general. But, you know, one of the things that I wrote down on my sheet is change in salary. So, I mean, everything's relative, right? So if, you know, Steph Curry was priced at $20,000, I don't care, how many numbers he's putting up. You know, you just can't put them in your lineup. So, you know, you obviously need to be aware of the prices of all these guys. And one of the things to focus in on is their changes in salary. So there's guys, you know, I'm looking at like for tomorrow, I'm looking at the lineup. Kawhi Leonard, man, is very tasty. He's only 7.9K on FanDuel. Porzingis is another one, 6.9K. I think that's – Kyrie Irving's another one, 7.1K. I think that's way too low. I think as the season goes on, all three of those guys, those prices are going to skyrocket. So what you're looking to do is get value. So you obviously you want to play players who are priced appropriately. And the main thing you want to do, you know, when you talk about guys, you know what's a good price. What you're looking is for someone, especially on FanDuel, for someone to score five times their value. Five times their salary. That's called, you know, quote unquote hitting value. So when you look at, you know, Porzingis at 6.9K, if he can get you 35 FanDuel points, which is he should be able to do on a pretty regular basis, that would be kind of hitting value for Porzingis. For Irving, same thing, around 35, maybe 36, 37 FanDuel points would get you hitting value because he's priced at 7.1K. So, you know, always be looking at salary. Now, you know, obviously the guys for tomorrow, you know, LeBron's the highest price guy at 9.6K. So he's going to have to get you, you know, what, between, what, 40, I'm bad at math, 47 FanDuel points, something like that. Does that sound right? 46?
Tyler.
What was the question now? How many points does he need?
Tyler's fine.
It's 96.
9.6 times 5.
Times 5, 48.
There you go. So LeBron needs to give you about 48 FanDuel points. Still pretty reasonable. So just keep salary in mind. Also, you know, having in mind, you know, what do you think is a fair price for that player? So, you know, I mean, you know, I would say for Kawhi Leonard, I mean, anything about like 8.5K, that's off the top of my head, that's what I think would be a fair price. So if you can get someone who you think is priced, you know, under market value, you think is priced too low, that means that's a good player to, you know, to play for that particular night. So Kawhi is a guy that I'm going to be playing a ton tomorrow. I think that price is too low. Kyrie Irving and Porzingis, those are two other guys who I think are priced low to start of the season.
Word up.
All right. So all right, that's enough for stats research. Cool. Let's move on to a little section. Even though we touched on most of this, regarding when you're actually building lineups, again, there's a lot of sites out there. You know, FanDuel and DraftKings are the main two. You know, find a site that you're comfortable with. I prefer FanDuel just because I played, you know, more FanDuel than DraftKings, but I play both. You know, so when it comes to that, just find DraftKings obviously has a. Oh, go ahead, Tyler.
Is the scoring the exact same on both sites?
The scoring is not the same, and you need to be aware of the scoring because that makes a difference. Like for instance, on DraftKings, you get an extra point for every 3-pointer. You get like bonus points for double doubles and triple doubles. So you definitely need to be aware of that because that does. That will influence who you play on occasion. Like if there's like a tiebreaker, it can play a role in who you pick. Also, you know, DraftKings has a utility spot. You know, basically you can play, you know, a guy.
Don't they have multiple positions this year?
What's that?
They have multiple positions this year, don't they? Again,
what do you mean?
I believe DraftKings added multiple positions this year.
Yeah, certain players you can play at more than one position. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Whereas FanDuel, you know, you got to play two guards, two forwards. Or actually, no, it's been a long time since I've done
that. No, it's not that. But what I mean is that each player on FanDuel has one position, whereas on DraftKings, some players have multiple positions.
Yeah, that's right. And like on FanDuel, you know, yeah, like I'm trying to think of guys who, and the other thing you have to keep in mind, which is annoying, is that, for instance, let's say, I'm trying to think who it was. Dante Exum, that's who it was. But someone on FanDuel might be a point guard, but on DraftKings is a shooting guard, and vice versa. Yeah. So you got to be aware of that as well. Sometimes it makes no sense, and it's super annoying. And someone is clearly a point guard, but for whatever reason, they're a shooting guard or a small forward on a site. But just be aware of that.
Well, positions are kind of subjective. In certain respects, like a lot of people, you know, it's like when you're looking at the Sacramento Kings and you're saying, well, who's playing center? Is it DeMarcus Cousins or Kostas Koufos? Because DeMarcus, you know, like I think they had Blake Griffin guarding Koufos, but DeMarcus was guarding Blake Griffin. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, who the hell knows?
Yeah, you know, and like, for instance, if the Kings are playing Willie Cauley-Stein and Cousins, clearly one of them, in theory, is playing power forward that night. But I think they're always listed, at least on FanDuel, as centers. So it can be annoying. But, yeah, so just – you know, have a site that you like, and just and that's fine. I mean, everyone always asks me which site is better. I don't think any site's better, and I think the odds are basically the same.
We were talking about this a little bit before. I mean, it's preference. You know,
right.
Last year, we both said that we played mostly on FanDuel because of the fact that lineups locked at 7 p.m. at the first tip, and that meant we didn't have to pay attention to switching out stuff because – DraftKings had the late lineup switch leading up to every single game last year.
Yep.
And so you had to sit there and just watch your lineups every single night for like 3.5 hours, which sucks. I want to watch the games, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
I want to watch the games and root for the lineups I've already picked. So, yeah, there's more – I guess it sucks that you have to take a guess on the 10:30 games, whether, you know, 2.5 hours early or whatever it is, or 3.5 hours early, but whatever. Everybody's playing with the same rules.
With that said, though, we should say DraftKings has now done away with late swaps.
Exactly.
So now DraftKings and FanDuel, same playing field. You know, I know a lot of the people who play DraftKings played it for that very reason. Me and you, yep. I mean, both of us did not like the late swaps because we wanted to eat, go to the gym, walk our dogs, you know, do whatever. We didn't want to monitor news and watch games. So, but I know some people who did actually love the late swap. So no more late swaps on DraftKings. So that we'll see how that influences players this year. It's going to be interesting.
Right. And we'll dive into other sites too, because yeah. I'm going to want to get funky on some of these random sites, because honestly, if you're getting started out too, maybe FanDuel's not the best place to go. Maybe DraftKings not the best place to go. Maybe you should go get on the No Halftime app or go play at one of these lesser known sites where you've got just not as many people playing. So you're going to have smaller tournaments. You're going to have I think an easier time than you would at the bigger sites in certain respects. But as Tyler also said, the bigger sites are making more of an effort for beginners to kind of dip their toes in everything too.
Yep. Yeah. And you can, if you guys have questions on other sites, I've played almost all of them. So you feel free to ask us about those as well. So I know we touched upon briefly GPP versus cash games, and that's, you know, the tournaments, the more riskier play versus the 50-50s. Now, in theories, like if you read, you know, beginner articles about DFS, it's going to tell you you should play like 80% of your money, of your budget should be spent playing, be safe and play cash games or play 50-50s. And 20% of your money should go to these GPPs where you can make, you know, a lot of money. Me, I say F that. I say, be you. Do what you want to do, man. If you want to be risky, if you want a shot at, you know, at winning thousands of dollars in these big tournaments, just understand it's a lot harder to do that. But if that's how you want to spend your money, man, go do that. If you want to be a little safer, you know, play more 50-50s and play more cash games. It's totally up to you. Everyone's different. So I hate when there's articles telling you, you know, how you should spend your money. It drives me nuts.
If you're trying to turn turn DFS into a legit job for you, then yeah, you're gonna figure it out. You're gonna be playing a bunch of cash games, and you're just gonna be winning $1.60 or whatever it is. But you're gonna be playing a crap ton of lineups, and you're going to be playing on a lot of sites, and it's gonna be a lot of work. But if you don't have a lot of time, like I'm doing work during the day. Every once in a while, I'll have enough, you know, a little bit of downtime, and I'll go throw in a lineup or whatever. But for the most part, Daniel, I kind of do like what you're saying. I do what I want to do. And what I want to do is I want to throw in like 5 to 10, $2 lineups, blow 10 or 20 bucks once or twice a week. And maybe I strike rich, quote unquote, you know, for me, and I can pay off my student loans. You know, like that's the millennial dream, baby.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just like, I don't like, it's just, it's super annoying when you have, you know, anyone telling someone else how to spend their money. So
I'm actually kind of like the exact opposite. Like a lot of times when I play, I'll just like throw in like a $2 lineup and like a 50-50 or a double up, just thinking like, hey, I just want to watch the games. I'm going to have some fun. Like,
that's cool.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, maybe I'll win like $5. Like, who cares? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's not really about like winning $1 million for me. It's just like having fun.
Yeah, the only thing that I'll say, you know, when it comes to this, now you may find that just like your style of play is just more suited to cash games or more suited to GPPs. I mean, I have friends who are just, they're for whatever reason, they're really good at cash games. They're really good at 50-50s. So then, you know, naturally they focus more of their time on that. So you may have a particular, you know, skill set to being, you know, better suited to one of the, you know, to either GPPs or cash games. But, you know, how you want to spend your money, man, that's up to you.
Holla.
So a common question, one of the main, one of the most frequently asked questions that I would get the last few years would be, how many lineups do I play each night? And again, this is another personal question. I kind of don't like to give too much advice here. The one thing I'll say is this. When there's small slates like tomorrow, only three games, I typically will play smaller. And the reason for that is with only three games, there's not a whole lot of ways to differentiate yourself, right? Like even in big tournaments, you're gonna probably have tons of people having the same lineup.
With three games on the lineup, I mean, how many? I don't even. There's like what, maybe one or two centers I even want to throw in a lineup right now.
Yeah.
Who I think are going to absolutely give me value, and the rest of them, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Zaza Pachulia in my lineup at 4.8K, and I'm like, I'm cringing at center. It's just like
thank you.
Yeah, so. You know, when it's a small, when it's a, you know, especially, and when you're looking at the number of games, obviously Thursday night is the TNT night. There's typically only going to be 2 to 3 games. Last year was actually cool. There were a lot of nights on Thursday. There still were like 5 or 6 games. Hopefully it'll be like that this year again. But if, on the nights where there are only like 2 or 3 games, I tend to play, you know, a little bit smaller. Also, when there's a lot of games, when there's, and typically it's going to be a Wednesday or Friday. If there's over 12 games, that's just, I mean, the amount of information and the amount of time you have to spend researching can be crazy. I could, you know, I can easily spend 5, 6, 7 hours when there's that many games. So when there's that many games, I also play a little bit lighter as well, because it's just, I mean, the amount of data is just too hard to truly master it before the games start.
I find like in the big days too, like a lot of times the guy, like if you look at the guy who wins the big tournament, like,
oh, the lineups is ridiculous.
Yeah, he played somebody, and you're like, how did you know to play that guy? Like, that was just complete and utter luck.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing that the slates that I love the best are, like, the 5 to 8 games. It's beautiful. Because, I mean, when there's only about, you know, when there's, like, 5 to 8 games, you have enough time to research all the games. You can monitor the injuries, the late-breaking news, you know, really delve into the data. So that's kind of my sweet spot. Now, again, this may be different for you guys, but I'm just telling you that that's my strategy. So, when there's a ton of games, I play a little bit lighter. And also when there's you know, only 2-3 games, I play a little bit lighter.
Cool.
Let's see. We talked about single entry contests, just a good way for new players and to stay away from sharks. And that's it. That's it for building lineups. Lastly, I guess not lastly, but almost, we're almost done, guys. I know it's been a long podcast. Hopefully you guys are finding this useful. Twitter, as I think Kyle mentioned earlier about following Basketball Monster, Twitter is essential if you're playing DFS. You need to be following the right people to get your information. I mean, you can almost play DFS. And I mean, if you really, and I mean, I should try to do this a night and not do any research, just go out based on my Twitter. And I could probably pick a pretty decent lineup that way. I mean, if you're following the right guys, all the information is going to be on your Twitter feed, quite honestly. Now, you're still going to want to dive deeper because there's certain things you're going to want to look at. But
in a superficial way, you're going to be able to get a lot of subjectivity through following all the news, because, you know, if so-and-so is out tonight, it's going to be pretty easy to discern who's going to it's not going to be easy to discern. But at least you have that information. At least you have the injury stuff. So you can say, oh, well, this guy's out. Well, that guy will probably get the minutes. So you can make an informed decision. But you could get more informed if you do use other tools, definitely.
Right. As we mentioned, in terms of the main thing for Twitter is who's in or who's out, especially as the late-breaking news is coming in at like 6:50 and lineup locks at 7 p.m. So you got to, you know, again, just follow Basketball Monster. And I'm not saying this because Kyle is on the podcast with us. It really is the best Twitter follow to let you know who's going to be playing that night. So just make sure you follow them. And lastly, I got to mention, there's still way too many scams out there. There's way too many people who are call themselves quote unquote lineup providers who will basically like sell you lineups. I know some of these guys and some are okay, but for the most part, I tell you just stay away, man. Build your own lineups. Kind of try to stay away from the muck and the dirt of DFS. You know, if you really do want to, what's that?
To sell lineups now, isn't illegal?
I don't think so.
I thought I saw something about that. Really? Now I'm spreading rumors.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it is. A lot of people also just give away lineups as well. But then the problem with that is then they basically they don't demand a tip, but they'll expect a pretty nice tip. And just Twitter can be a nasty place once you go down that hole. I mean, if you do really do want to use someone else's lineups, you know, feel free to send me a tweet and ask me how I think they are, because there are some guys who I think if you do want to go down that road, who are still okay. But and some guys though are pure scum, have no idea what they're doing, and I would just stay away from that.
There's kind of certain sites. Sorry, Tyler. One sec. There's certain sites that will provide. They have like optimizers and whatnot.
Right.
And a lot of some of the DFS sites like FanDuel, DraftKings, some of these guys don't want these optimizer out there because they feel like it simplifies the game too much, or it not simplifies it, but you'll get so many people using that exact same lineup from the optimizer. And there's been plenty of nights where those optimizers have won.
Right.
But at the same time, like on Basketball Monster, you have to select a certain number of players before we allow you to quote unquote optimize. Like, I think you can only fill in your final three players. And that's because our users said, no, look, we pay money for these projections and we want to get the benefit of having these really up-to-date projections that are altered, you know, leading up right up to the last second before tip-off. And we don't want, you know, if we just let other people optimize lineups, then they get the benefit of the projections without putting in any of the work or like having any talent of doing it. So we would prefer if you kind of like not do that. So I get, it's kind of cool to work for a site that has like a creed or what would you call it? I don't know. Scruples.
Exactly. Here's the thing I'll say about it too. It should be fun for you. And like, it should be something that you want to enjoy. So like, don't just go take someone else's lineup. Like, what fun is that? Like, maybe that guy doesn't know anything. How do you know he knows what he's talking about? You know what I mean? So well, I mean, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, you know what I mean? But like, what fun is that for you?
No. I mean, I think in certain respects, some people have, you know, expendable income and maybe I would say buy a line. If you're going to buy lineups, kind of like what Daniel said, like go to somebody who you have like some kind of relationship with.
Yeah.
Or somebody that you trust, like somebody that you've been following on Twitter for a long time. And you feel like this guy knows what he's talking about. He's not just blowing, you know, smoke up my butt about stuff. So yeah, anyways, whatever.
Yeah. As you guys were saying that, I was just looking at pricing tomorrow. Kevin Love, man. I'm going to be all over Kevin Love tomorrow. 6.8K in FanDuel. Another guy who I think is priced too low. He had a great offseason, I think, by the way. So it's a guy I'm looking at. Anyway.
Kind of a deep pick to kind of just like a punt play or whatever. At small forward on FanDuel, Davis Bertans. Davis Bertans. But I do believe it's pronounced Davis Bertans. 3,500. If that's a... He's going to be in the rotation most likely, and he's going to be chucking threes against Golden State. I don't know. I could just see something stupid happening in his debut.
Interesting.
Just like a random thing. Don't go throwing Davis Bertans in a bunch of random, you know, like all your lineups on DFS.
I'm going to make one lineup with that guy tomorrow.
That's what I did. I made one lineup because having that 3,500 in there, it allowed me to put like superstars in every single spot.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a good point you mentioned right there. So a lot of times, I mean, people will like, so I'll play someone, you know, like Kyle mentioned, who's like the minimum at 3.5K. And that guy will just have a horrendous night. He'll just stink, which for the most part, he probably will be, because if he's priced that low, that means he's not a very good basketball player. And then, you know, I'll get people on Twitter, you know, laughing at me. Oh, you played that guy. He scored, you know, 0 points and got you 6 FanDuel points, you sucker. And then I'll be like, yeah, you know what also playing him allowed me to do? It allowed me to get LeBron, you piece of crap. And LeBron put up 70 FanDuel points. And that's why I just won $1,000. So F you. So one thing that you guys should keep in mind is that when you do play guys who are priced at the minimum, it just opens up a ton of salary for you. And if you can play someone, you know, at 3.5K, but it allows you to get a top guy like a LeBron, like a Kevin Durant, like a Steph Curry, you know, sometimes it's worth it, even if that guy does have a crappy night. So, you know, it's not always just what, you know, what does that particular player do for you? It's what does he allow you to do in the rest of your lineup?
Well, and two, like you were saying earlier about, you know, you need 5 times the money to make the value. Well, if you're adding a minimum player with a big player, I mean, the value's coming out to around 6,000. So you only need 30 points between the two players. Right? Because you're just adding them and dividing them by two. Like, I mean, simple math.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm with you, I think. All right, so lastly, the last thing I just want to touch on is podcasts like this one. I mean, I think if you are playing DFS, you still should have some idea of what's actually going on in the games, or be listening to, you know, a podcast which is going to give you some information on that particular night's slate of games. And it just so happens that we are doing a podcast. But if you don't like our podcast, that's fine. There's a lot of other good ones out there as well.
If you made it this long into this podcast and you don't like it, what are you doing to yourself?
Okay? Yeah, that's true. And
reevaluate your life.
Because, and this podcast wasn't funny.
Care about you, even if you don't care about this podcast. Yeah. I don't want that despair dragging you down every day, okay? Unshackle yourself, okay? Wilson Phillips.
This was a nuts and bolts, like not a funny podcast either. So if you listen to this whole thing through, kudos to you. But
let's talk about those good bad podcasts. Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We're going to try to be somewhat fun and entertaining while giving you legit, while being a tool, like, while actually providing not like, you know, a D-bag tool, but like a tool you would use, like a hammer, or maybe an abacus.
But what's an abacus?
The original computer, I believe.
Oh, wow. Did not know.
It's just that thing where you like slide nuts on a wire across to count. Anyways. So yeah, we're going to try to provide good information that's relevant, that actually helps you make informed decisions about your lineup every day. Josh Lloyd on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at @redrockbball_bball. Everybody knows Josh. He's awesome. He does half season long, half daily every day during the regular season. And then who's this Humps and Chumps that you got here?
Wait, hold up. First, congrats to Josh. He got a blue, the little blue check mark on Twitter. So now he's
verified.
Yeah. So he's verified now. Like, so congrats, man. That that's hard to do. And that guy's a grinder. He works his tail off. So I was happy when I saw that.
When did that happen?
I think it was like a couple nights ago. It was real late at night. He sent out a tweet. It was just like, it was like a check mark, and I was like, what the hell is he talking about? And then I looked, and he had the little blue check mark. He got verified. Yeah, it's very cool. I'm not going to lie.
I'm sending him a DM right now. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was a little jealous, but I was like, that guy deserves it, man. He works hard.
Maybe it's because he went on that A to Z podcast again this year. I think he did it 2 years in a row. That USA Today, you dig? Wow. Neato. Good for you, Josh. I didn't know that. That's so dope. Anyways. Okay, but who else? Are there any other podcasts out there? Because there's a bunch of DFS podcasts, and that's something I'm going to do this season, is listen to a lot of those other DFS podcasts, because it's find one that you like listening to every day that you're gonna help you be informed.
There was one last I listened to last year before DFS became illegal in New York, and so I'm not sure if they're even gonna have it this year again. I would assume they would. I did listen every day to one on Rotor Grinders, which basically broke down every game for you. which I found, and it was always about 20 to 30 minutes long. I found that one to be pretty good. So
cool.
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch out there. I mean, there's quite honestly, there's too many, and some are pretty crappy.
Right.
But there are some good ones.
Cool. Well, I don't know why the hell we're talking about other podcasts on our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, like, and one thing, if you listen to ours, and if there's like information you want that we're not giving you on our podcast, let us know, man. Like, you know, send us an email or tweet at us.
Yeah, because we'll do the dirty work. If you let us know that we're missing the boat on something, we'll add that to the list of crap we're gonna compile. Yeah,
especially because I've played almost too much. Where sometimes I'll be like, wow, like people will be like, why didn't you mention this and this? And I'll be like, holy, yeah, you're right. I didn't realize that when I first started. Yeah, I mean, I totally needed to learn, you know, A, B, and C first. So if there's things that I'm talking about where, you know, like basic, even like basic terms, you guys still want to know, you know, feel free to let me know. I'm not sure if hopefully we didn't, you know, speak too, go too deep in this little strategy podcast.
I'm sure that some people were annoyed by the length of it. Some people were annoyed by the specificity of it, you know, getting like way too beginnerish about some of the stuff, but you know what? We kind of want to be a tool to people and to inform. But anyways, we're just going down a weird path right now. Is there anything else we need to talk about that's relevant? Instead of psychoanalyzing the podcast,
I got a massage today for the first time ever. That was interesting.
Relevant?
Not really relevant, but I had to throw it out there.
Where'd you get the massage?
At my I go see a chiropractor because I hurt my back. Working.
Oh, really? Out. Okay, yeah. So it's like at a doctor.
Yeah.
So you're not going to like one of the geisha houses down.
No. Which there are way too many of those in New York, but no.
Oh, and there's way too many in Madison. Backpage.com, everybody.
Oh Jesus, yeah. Tyler, are you alive? First of all, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Anything that you want to add on this?
No, I think we got pretty much everything covered. Go out there and play, have some fun.
Lastly, what I'll say is this. So every day, for almost every day, I have a tournament that a lot of my followers play. We call it the Judge's Chambers. In a different parallel universe, I'm known as the Judge. That's my kind of my DFS persona. So I run a daily tournament called the Judge's Chambers. Typically it's on FanDuel and DraftKings. And if you guys want in on that, it's typically 20 people in the tournament, $2. Not high stakes at all. Just kind of, we do it mostly for fun. So if you want in, on that, feel free to send me a tweet. It's a lot of fun. It's we do it almost every day. So it's a good
maybe
time.
We can get it popular enough that we have to blow it up. Or are they limited to 20 people?
I mean, FanDuel, it limits you to 20 people in the tournaments. It's so annoying. I mean, I try to get at them some people they expand it, like if they sponsor you and things like that. But for me, they would not raise my limit. And for most people, it's only 20 people per contest.
I got over 6,000 followers now. So, I mean, maybe I can put a little weight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
let us get like 22 people in this.
Yeah, I mean, like some days, like last year, I'd basically run like five or six tournaments.
Cool.
Demand was pretty crazy. So,
yeah. All right. Very dope.
God, hopefully that wasn't boring for you guys. Hopefully you found that useful. So that's all I got, Kyle. Tyler, that's all I got.
All I got.
Anything else? Sounds good to me.
All right, so we're signing off. Enjoy the start of basketball tomorrow. Enjoy the 3-game slate. Remember to focus on that San Antonio Golden State game. And
we'll be back with looking at Wednesday's games tomorrow.
Yep. See you guys.
Love you, everybody. Peace.